V-22. Moore Residence, Archway, Colorado. With Jack Neal still restrained on the floor in the back of Jason's car, Clark stepped out of the passenger side to bring his own car right alongside it. He bundled Jack from one vehicle to the other after scanning the quiet neighborhood to make sure no one happened to be watching. As soon as this cargo transfer was complete, he locked his car and returned to Jason. "I'm sorry," the shamed actor sighed, shaking his head at the ground. "You're lucky they didn't hurt her," Clark replied. "Now what you're going to do is go home, keep your mouth shut, and trust that this is over. Jack's done, and his goons are out of here. There wouldn't have been any problem without you, but there wouldn't have been a solution if you hadn't convinced Jack to come out to the woods. And that's what I need from you again now, understood? I need you to lie when you need to lie. When someone asks what happened, or if anyone ever says something that makes you think they might know something, you need to stick to the lie that you don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Are we clear?" Jason gulped and nodded several times. "Thanks." This reply angered Clark. What the hell was there to be thankful for? But everything about Jason screamed vulnerability, and snapping at him again would achieve nothing. He was weak and had already paid a colossal emotional price for making the initial mistake of trusting his career regeneration to a maniacal PR guru who was quite possibly the worst person in the world. "This is over, but Emma might want to talk to you when she gets home," Clark said. "If she does, I'll be there, because I was here, and I know what that scumbag had over you. Like I told you already, Jack is done. Your family is safe. That video thing you mentioned, I can't help you with that, but if it ever gets out, just say it's fake. Who cares, man? With the day you've just had, who gives a shit? You're alive, and so is Tara. This could have gone a different way." Jason forced out a grunt of understanding. "I just want to talk to your folks for a quick second before I go," Clark said. "Just so they don't ask any questions." He was knocking on the door before Jason had a chance to reply, and Mr. Moore was there within seconds. "We were wondering where you'd gotten to," the man said. He focused on Clark. "How did the lineup go, okay? And him, is he okay?" "He's been associating with some questionable types," Clark said, putting on a reluctant tone. "But I think he got a little bit of a fright today at the precinct, so that should straighten him up. Right, kid?" Jason raised his eyebrows and shrugged. "I've made mistakes, but I'm getting better." "Come on, come in here for something to eat," his mother insisted from an unseen position. "Clark, you too."
"Thanks, Mrs. Moore, I would love to," Clark called in. "And any other time I would, but there's something else I have to take care of right now."
Mr. Moore extended his hand towards Clark. "Thanks for keeping his problem today, you know, hushed. It hasn't been easy these last few years, and if the media had gotten hold of this..." "He won't make a mistake like this again," Clark said, firmly shaking Mr. Moore's hand before leaving their doorstep for the last time. As Clark reached his car, Mr. Moore called after him.
"Oh, and Clark, crazy news about the triangle, huh?"
Yeah, hell of a crazy thing," Clark said.
Once back in the car, he immediately turned on the radio and proceeded to sit in rapt attention as the newsreader recounted the remarkable events that had been playing out in China while Clark was dealing with a more immediate problem much closer to home. Even Jack perked up as he heard the news that not only had the third triangle just been discovered, but Ding Ziyang had already announced that his ELF scientists were going to publicly unite it with the other two in a matter of hours. Clark didn't speak during the short drive home, until he arrived and breathed a deep sigh of relief that Henry's car wasn't there. This meant he could covertly get Jack into the house and down into the basement without anyone seeing or hearing a thing.
"Time to move, asshole," he called into the back seat.
Jack mumbled something, repeatedly and annoyingly enough to prompt Clark to remove the tape for a few seconds. Clark expected to hear something about the triangles, probably a bullshit lie Jack had been dreaming up during the drive to mess with his head. Instead, a simple question came. "Are you going to kill me?" Clark placed the highly adhesive tape back across Jack's mouth.
"I need you to be alive when Emma gets home," he said. "After that,
I get the feeling it's going to be out of my hands.